CliffCentral.com.
All right, good morning, everybody. Yes, it's Thursday. Ha-ha. We've got Pumi Mashiho with us this morning. We've got Sia Sangweni. We've got you. I mean, what else could we possibly need in the whole world of things? Morning, Pumelele.
Good morning.
We had a lot of compliments for you.
Why are you guys so serious this morning?
Oh, serious?
Like, come on the street here. You've got straight faces. It's like, what's going on?
Well, you know, we have
That's the only thing straight about me.
We have to concentrate. We're very stupid people, and if we forget what we're meant to do here, the whole thing will go down in flames, you know? We've got to think very carefully.
It's a Thursday. We're literally like 60 days away from a new year.
I know.
Don't get me started.
Mm-hmm.
Do not get me started, because my own United Nations of friends have settled on a bit of a conundrum that we cannot solve just yet.
What's that?
Okay.
What is
Bear with me here. How are we going to celebrate New Year's Eve if the curfew is midnight? Think about it.
Yeah,
think about it.
These sons of bitches just need to end this nonsense right away. They really do. I think it's so stupid. Now, apparently Cyril has the COVID.
No, he was exposed to someone who is COVID positive. So they said he's self-quarantining, and then he will not test unless he shows symptoms.
Yeah, that's, you know, that 99% survival rate's just, it's just too small.
But really, can we go back to how are we going to celebrate New Year's Eve?
Well, I don't
Does
know.
That mean we all have to be at house parties?
Yeah, I think that's my plan. I'm not going anywhere where I have to deal with the police. So if I have it at my house, it can go on until 4 in the morning if I wanted to. That's my plan.
I think if we can all agree on one thing, is that we've all been forced to grow up slightly in 2020. That's what you do when you're all grown up, Sia. You don't go clubbing. You hang out at home.
You hang out at home.
You throw a house party with a close circle of friends.
Right. That was going to be
my grand return to the social scene.
No, there's going to be none of that. Sorry. None of that. Forget it.
I was going to go to Black Door.
that's the one that
is now shut down.
That's the one they shut down, right?
Yeah. Oh, no, man. That is really annoying.
Well, you know what, Sia?
Some people
have really hard lives, like they work in mines and that kind of thing.
This is my hard knock life. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
I am withering away in these here four walls.
What precisely is it that you were looking for? Like, how many friends do you have? What's this close United Nations of friends? How many people is that?
It was three of us in total. We are the decision makers for everyone else. We are the responsible ones. Because, you know, in groups of friends, they're like, you all have your different roles. We are the responsible ones who make the plans, who make sure that, you know, tickets are bought or transport is sorted out or accommodation, whatever it is.
How's that working out for you?
Yeah. Not well. Because a good New Year's Eve for me is you have dinner somewhere and then you just start hopping all over the place. But you end up very settled at one place for the countdown and then you continue the hopping.
That is, just hearing you say that, it's so exhausting for me. Just hearing you talk about it like that, like driving from place to place.
Yes.
Come on, guys. No.
So what do you do ordinarily for New Year's Eve?
This is the year, Sia.
Pumi's in bed by 11. Yourself.
What? Do you know that I live with a 13-year-old? Those are the people who are determined to see the new year in.
That's true.
You're up in the, like, late at night. And it's extremely exhausting. But usually we do house parties with friends. Because me and my friends, right, and their husbands and kids, we are a party. We are a good 24 people.
Yeah. No, that
so
that,
we're like,
and you know what? Who better to bring New Year's in with than people you actually like? I mean, I've never understood, because I used to have to DJ at these parties with like 12,000 people, and yeah, it doesn't mean anything to me to be with people I don't know on New Year. I mean, I had fun, don't get me wrong, but it was like any other party. You know, if you're going to make New Year special for any reason, hand pick, you know, Sia, you and the organizing committee that it sounds like you're a part of. You need to hand pick with very careful decision. You know what you could do? Here's an idea.
Precision.
Here's what you're going to do. You guys might spend upwards of 500, 1,000, maybe even more on that night on just drinks. Maybe what you should do is hire like a big house somewhere in Santana, but a beautiful place, and you kit it out, and you basically, I mean, you go on Airbnb and you'll find some really cool places, and you book that house for 2 nights, so not just for New Year. You book it for the day of the 31st, that night, and the 1st, and then you spend the night of the 1st, you have like supper there or whatever as well, and then you clear out the next morning. But you choose, you handpick like 10 of the best people that you know, and you do it there. Now you've made it an event.
Catered dinner.
In fact, you could even sell this idea to your friends. You could say to them, listen, you each have to put in 1,000 or maybe a little bit more, because it is New Year. People spend that on a ticket.
You know, can I tell you, it is such a great idea. I can't fault it except for the fact that my friends and I are still at the drama stage. We need drama in our lives. You know, you need to go out and there must be drama. You need to go out and then, did you see? He hooked up with her. Yo! And then she was also there. What was she doing there? And then you need to go, guys, we're going. And then you jump into the Uber. And then it's like, she isn't here. Where did she go? And then Uber driver, no, turn around. You know, you still need that.
You need that. You're welcome to it. You go ahead. You have that, right, Pumi? Pumi, you don't want that. I don't want that, right?
And I'm quite certain a lot of the people watching and listening, Sia, are looking at you right now, shaking their heads.
I know.
With palpitations, because ain't nobody want that.
One thing I'm definitely not doing after many, many years of this experience growing up is I will not be spending New Year's Eve with my parents at their house, because
watching Dinner for One on SABC.
No. Bless their hearts. Because do remember that I come from a very holy household, despite my behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So it would always be the countdown. We celebrate the new year, and easily like 2 minutes past midnight or 3 minutes past midnight, it's time to pray. And I'm not just talking about the Lord's Prayer, which could be condensed to 3 minutes. No, this was the prayer for the new year. It was a long prayer that sometimes keeping your eyes closed for that long, you would doze off a little. And so, focus.
Oh my God.
And my dad would wrap up the prayer, and then it's, guys, you guys can carry on and have fun, but just turn down the music and don't scream and shout because we're asleep. So by 1 a.m., we'd have to call it a wrap.
I understand. That's horrible. That's terrible. I remember one New Year. Oh, it was the worst.
Bless you.
I spent it with my family. I think I was probably about 17 or 16 or something. And I spent it with just the family, and we sat and we kind of watched other people's fireworks. It was so boring. And I swore to myself that night, because you know when you're a teenager, that's all you want is to have a party and be with your friends. So I hated that so much. I was like, nah, this is never happening again. And I got my wish, hey. For upwards of 20 years, it was big, big, big parties all over the country. I was flown here and flown there and DJing, center of attention, all of that crap. You quickly get sick of that too.
Mm-hmm.
And then all you want again is just the people you really care about, small little house party. So it goes full circle.
Circle of life.
Yeah.
Circle of life.
So,
circle of life.
I've got to tell you guys about something I did yesterday that was kind of fun, although also very weird. I was asked to be part of a conference. There was a congress on, but it was a virtual congress, but not just virtual, a virtual reality congress. So they gave me a pair of these VR goggles. Let me just fetch them because you got to see these.
The Oculus,
yeah. And it's got these, let me just show you. I took a picture of it. This is easier, then I don't have to get up. I took a picture of me with the Oculus on, and they've got like these monkey eyes on the front of it. So it's extra funny when you've got it on. But look at this. So there's me with Oculus.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
See that? So I'll post it. I'll post it on Instagram later because it's hilarious. But I was at this conference. So you go into this VR world and you're in this amphitheater in the middle of a jungle because it was hosted by National Geographic and the Gauteng Film Commission and a whole lot of other people. And it was really interesting because the other speakers were great. So I was on a panel with two people. One was in Austin, Texas, and the other one was in Boston, in America. And the three of us were busy talking about podcasting and all the rest of it. And there were an audience of maybe, I don't know, 30 people. And it was really interesting because they all have their little avatars. So you don't see the people, you see their little avatars, and they've got hands and this disjointed body and a head. And
like we're talking about the avatars that were like, you know, big a couple of weeks ago on Facebook, not just a profile picture.
Yeah, like the ones that
oh wow.
Yeah, so you wander around and you can move because you've got this control, so you move forward and backward and left and right, and you can shake hands with people and you can add them as friends and you can talk to them during the conference. But it's really fun and I'm glad I did it. It was an interesting experience to be a part of that, and the talk itself was good. But Jesus, after wearing these things for like an hour, because it took me half an hour to just figure out what to do, how the thing worked, how to get from, you know, you teleport from one room to another and you have to figure out where everybody is and where your rehearsal is and all that stuff. But once I eventually figured that out, then you go into the conference, which is 45 minutes. And like by the end of it, you're a bit discombobulated, like you're not sure where you are. You've worn this headset for a while, so your spatial recognition's a bit messed up. And I've often spoken on the show about how the future is going to be human beings who just live in the basement and never leave. And, you know, they have sex with VR people. And you only work in a
really?
VR.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
That is the example you give.
Yeah, of course. Because humans, all the innovation always happens with sex first. Look at the internet, Pumi. What took place there first? It was internet porn and gambling.
Cats.
No, long before cats, there was internet porn and gambling. Anyway, so I thought about it, and I don't think that that's the case anymore. I don't think humans are going to live in a VR world. Not until they figure out a way of making these things much more comfortable. And they also get very hot. Because I had to plug it in so it wouldn't die during the conference. The battery, you know, doesn't last forever. And when you plug it in, it gets really hot. And then it warns you, this device is getting too hot. And now you're getting irritated because your hair is underneath it. And, you know, it's getting, like, uncomfortable in your nose. And so I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. I think that it's going to take a lot longer for us to get into this VR world. And they've got a lot of work to still do for themselves before we'll all jump on board.
And when you walk up to someone else, you are speaking to another person who has a headset.
Yes, correct. So the headset's got a microphone in it, so you can hear each other, and you've got a pair of headphones on. So you can, It's really cool, but not for long.
Look, I think it's for us older people,
yeah.
it's It'll take a while to get used to it. Yeah. You too, Sia. You too. Hold on.
No. but I thought you were going to clarify, but I just saw you lump all of us up together.
Yeah. All of us. We're the older people. But yeah. I think the kids are okay. They'll be okay with that stuff. They'll be okay with the bars. They'll be okay with the headsets. They're just, because it's a way of life for them. I think it'll get less cumbersome. Mm. I mean, already that Oculus, I don't know which one you had, is a lot less cumbersome than the first ones.
Yes.
That came out. Because the first ones that came out were actually a bit of a headset to hold your phone. So you put your phone into it, and that's how. And that was a lot heavier. Now it's a lot more seamless, that device and the way that it's working. So it'll get better. It'll get easier. It'll get very quickly as well.
I enjoyed it, but I don't think I could live like that. So my predictions of how we're all going to never leave the house, I mean, that came true just because of COVID, but how we're all going to have every interaction that we have with other human beings while we're wearing these VR headsets, that's not going to happen. Not now. There's a lot that still has to go down.
I've been listening to a podcast about lots of weird things, but this one episode, and guys, I have to tell you about one part of the podcast that I listened to, but the one episode was speaking to a guy who is somewhere in Middle America. And I was astounded at how much time he spends on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of just wakes up and turns it on. And then it's just in a loop in the background his whole day. When he goes to work, he's got his headsets on. He doesn't have to watch the thing, but he's listening to it. He works on a production line of some sort. And this guy spends 12 hours easily. Yeah.
But you know, Pums, so when I'm going around the house doing things and I'm not in actual meetings, I've also got YouTube going on. And even when I'm driving in the car, I'm not watching it, but I'm listening because I'll find an interesting interview or I'll find some kind of panel discussion or I'll find, a documentary that someone's made and I'll just listen to it. And I've been doing that so much that I actually needed to buy extra data the last two months. Yeah.
Wow.
And I've got a substantial amount of data already as a part of this package that I'm on. So for me to have to spend extra money, I'm getting a little bit worried. It means I'm spending a lot of time on YouTube.
So my point though being that it is quite possible for lots of other people to be in that kind of loop.
Yeah.
And at the beginning of the podcast, it talks about how when he dropped out of school, all he did was eat cereal and sit in front of his computer.
Yeah, you see, that's terrible. Oof.
sounds a lot like a lot of people. But guys, I have to tell you this about part of this podcast. How do you feel when you have to speak with somebody who has a stutter? Does it make you anxious? Do you like get a little bit worried about where this, how long and how
are
long?
You bringing this up because Joe Biden keeps phoning you?
No, I get Musi's calls.
Oh God, that's even worse.
Joe's not calling.
Especially because Musi, as far as we can tell, he doesn't even have a political party at the moment. So why the hell is he calling you and harassing you? Maybe he wants a date.
What is one movement, one South Africa, one United World and Union? Anyway, that's one. So, I went through junior primary and senior primary with someone who stutters, and he was in a lot of my classes. And so I saw that firsthand, and, you know, he's very open about it, and the teachers were very helpful. So now, yeah, I had that foundation of knowing how to deal with someone who stutters, and now I don't have that anymore. You know, a lot of people who are listening to someone stutter almost get like impatient, or they want to like complete their sentences, or you find yourself going, but that's not what the person who stutters wants in most cases. They want to
Oh, I can't handle it. I'm sorry.
Can't handle
it. When they start with their, I'm like, yes, what, Denise? I'm not a good person for stutterers to encounter. I'm going to be that person.
I'm fine now. I listen.
I'm going to be that person who derails their attempts to get their stutter under control. I make it worse.
And that makes them even more anxious.
Sorry, I can't wait around all day for you to finish one sentence. I can't. I don't have the time or the patience. I'm sorry. Someone else can translate for me. I'll put you in a room with somebody else, and then they can come out and say, I think what Tom wanted to say is this, 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 and this.
So why do you ask?
Gareth, you are evil.
Nah. Who's got the time? Come on.
A poet. So this poet comes on the podcast is about the poetry festival. Something they do on New Year's Eve. This guy goes to this like 200-year-old church basement. Poetry marathon from 6 p.m. till about 1 in the morning. That's his New Year's Eve ritual. And it's all sorts of different poets from all over that come. And he had a recording of this performance, and the performer has a stutter.
Oh, God.
And he plays the whole thing. It was so riveting because you can't see him, right? Because it's the podcast. All I can, and then you just hear silence, and then the first part of the word, and then as he then quickly gets through the rest of the word, and then. But afterwards, they interviewed him about it. It was excruciating, but also such an enlightening experience. Because I don't know people who stutter. I've never been around people who stutter. I'm lucky, I suppose. And just talking through that experience for him, that one of the things that happens in his head is. The word he used was, it's like a supplication for the word, you know, like asking the word for it to comply with his speech as he's trying to give it. Unbelievable. And I wondered about, and the podcast is about rules and rule breaking.
Yeah.
Which made me wonder about the kinds of rules we are all willing to break.
Yeah, I'm willing to break a lot of rules, but I've got a rule about not wasting my time, and if you stutter, it's just not going to happen. Sorry.
Shame. Do you know it was only up until like a couple of years ago? I mean, like the past
that
two,
you stuttered.
No, the past like 2 or 3 years, I had watched the King's Speech before, and if
that
you watch the King's
king,
Speech,
that king who couldn't get out 3 words, what a fucking useless king, really. I mean, we had to, thank God I wasn't around in the 40s. I wouldn't have waited 1 second for that asshole, really. All right, people of Britain. Stupid king. Get the next in line. You can't have a king who stutters. Please, we don't have time for that.
Directly to hell.
Imagine there's a nuclear war and the president of Russia or the United States has to give the code and they start stuttering and the whole country goes up in flames because they can't give the code in time. Are you kidding?
This is a prerequisite for you and leadership.
Absolutely. Yes. Well, it's a prerequisite for me for friends. So
in the movie, they it was, yeah.
No, it's no, like it's I bad. Went.
So in the movie.
So yeah, we're listening to you.
Tell
us in the movie.
Don't mind Gareth. He's a horrible person.
Go on.
In the movie, they show how they use music to help him. You know, he puts headphones on, he listens to music, and he's able to somehow, with the mind and listening to music and having that staccato beat to follow, he can then speak in one smooth flow. And I thought maybe they added that in for dramatic effect. It wasn't up until like 2 or 3 years ago that I found it actually helps. It's a real thing. If you stutter and you listen to music, it somewhat helps your delivery. Go figure.
Okay. Good. Well, then put on music behind them all the time. Then at least, you know, you can listen to the music as well. Get a double whammy. You get entertainment and they can get on with their speech.
I'll send you the link to the podcast, Gary.
I think it will do you some good. I'll give that one a skip. All right, so listen, there's lots to talk about today. First of all, Mapelo says, Mam Zitande, that's you, Pumi. I missed you. You're stunning as always. Carl says, Gareth, you're a son of a bitch. Stutterers can't help it. Janet says, Gareth, here's a challenge for you. Say, oh, for the wings of a dove, oh, for the pupil of a crow, I'd fly to the top of a steeple and shit on the people below. My uncle used to stutter, and my mom and aunts used to get him to say that. He was always a good sport because he knew that we loved him. Now you do it, stuttering, and go. No, I'm not going to do that. Kotso says, just have to let them finish speaking. I do stutter. I work in the service industry. It's funny enough, when speaking to clients, I don't stutter. Yeah, that's what Sia was getting at with the music, is that, as I understand, for stutterers, it's almost like they go into a different, like certain stutterers will have that problem while they're talking, but they won't have that problem while they're singing, if they're a singer. Or if they're doing their work or they're speaking in numbers, there's no stutter at all. But then it comes with a certain kind of social and psychological anxiety, as I understand it. And if you correct them, it makes it much, much worse. Nikita says, hey, guys, live from Melbourne today. Shame. Melbourne is like the worst place in the world to be right now. Because
is that Nikita?
Yeah, Nikita. She says they've got a lockdown. They've been in lockdown for 8 months. I live alone. I've never listened to so many podcasts in my life, mainly long form like Joe Rogan, etc., because the mainstream media is so unreliable. But podcasts are honestly a form of communicator for me, as I've got no one else to speak to. Nikita, you live in the worst place in the world right now because you've got an absolute fascist Nazi what do they call him? A governor in that province. This guy is, what is it? Dan Andrews, who is this horrible little man. He's exactly Pumi. You know what a bureaucrat looks like in your head? A little man with glasses. Oh, you could picture it, right? Little man with glasses, ill-fitting suit.
Brown suit.
Yeah, ill-fitting suit and loves to tell everybody else what to do. Well, that's what she's got to deal with, poor Nikita, Dan Andrews. So I wish you luck, Nikita.
Oh, Dan.
What a little turd. Oof. What a little turd. If that man was in charge of me, I would just take him out at the knees. I'd walk straight up to him.
My, what meaty ears he has.
Big meaty ears, correct.
I want to do this to them. I just want to flick them.
Big old meaty ears, Sia. You're very observant. Well done. Anyway, this is so funny because James says you have got to see the Joe Rogan Alex Jones podcast on YouTube. I got through 5 minutes of that and I couldn't. Alex Jones makes Damon, who was on yesterday, seem tame and controlled. Alex Jones has got to be one of the most unhinged, crackpot, batshit crazy people in the universe. And although I don't think he's as dangerous as a lot of people think he is, I don't believe most people in the world take him seriously at all. I do think he's a total nutcase. And, you know, we had complaints about Damon yesterday. In fact, I got this one from
someone. I saw that.
Yeah.
I was holed up in a boardroom all day. I thought I'd listen in the evening, but I ended up working later than I had anticipated. But what I did see was, I was just like, what the hell is Damon going on about? People were on social media unhappy.
Listen to this. Brian said, how fucking boring. Please go on holiday. Damon is terrible, blah, blah, blah. So I said, well, just stop listening then. So Brian replied and said, I did. I hope tomorrow's show is better when I'll listen again. So hopefully we're pleasing Brian.
Okay. You know, the downside to any Joe Rogan recommendation is it is almost as, you know, a long agreement like getting a bond, because those podcasts are long. So when someone... You know, so when you talk about the Alex Jones one, someone was recommending I should watch or listen to the Kanye West one. I'm like, well, that's essentially 2 weeks of my life that I need to put aside.
Listen, he does some really interesting ones, but I agree with you. You have to make an investment of like three to 4 hours of your time. And whew, I mean, we used to do 3 hours a day of this show, and that was too much for me. And I was doing the show, let alone listening.
But you can do it. You can do it while you're doing other things.
Yeah.
Right. So when you're doing the gardens, when you're like,
you mean calling people to do the garden?
So it's not just me who's sneezing today, because Brendan says I'm also sneezing my nose off today. The pollen count must be really, really high.
Oh yeah.
Well, here's something interesting. Sazi says, Gareth, I can't move on. I've got love for the show, but what you did to Damon was hard to listen to yesterday. I hope you apologized after the show. Did I have to apologize? Sia, be honest.
What?
Did I have to apologize to Damon for something on the show yesterday?
I really am being objective here. What, Sazi, what do you think Gareth did? Because it was Gareth who went on. It was Damon who went on and on and on.
I mean, he was like a steam train yesterday. He just did not shut up.
He said, protect me from myself.
Yeah, he interrupted everybody, including Ruth, who called in. He insulted her by saying that she doesn't even have a great relationship with her mother, who Damon doesn't know either of them. And he was just rolling over everybody. So, Sazi, why must I apologize to that asshole? He should apologize to you.
He's not an asshole. Let's not go that far. Let's just not.
Now, you know what I mean. I thought it was hilarious.
It was a fun show, yes. I loved it.
I loved when Ruth called in yesterday and started giving Damon the gears. That was funny.
It felt like I had a day off because I was just sitting. Damon had the floor.
David says, I didn't realize how beautiful Pumi is. This is happening a lot, Pums. There are a lot of, if you ever do want to get married again, just choose from among the messages here, because people are big fans. I'm watching this. I've never seen her before. And that's from David. Yeah. Nikita says, Australia and New Zealand are being praised for the lockdowns and so few COVID cases, but I have no idea how we move forward when borders open again. You know, you're not going to move forward. You're going to have a massive second wave. That's what you're going to have. So get ready. Dr. Robin says, my bestie of 40 years has a severe stutter. She is incredible. No. She became a doctor despite her professors being a bit like me, Gareth, and dismissing her. She also does not stutter when she sings, and I've been her friend forever. I've heard her talk flawlessly in her sleep. Well, that's no fucking use.
What?
What's the point of being able to talk flawlessly in your sleep? That's just twisted.
Incredible.
This might not be the nicest thing to raise up, but it's a valid thing. So a couple of these messages are referencing how if you sing, well, if you stutter, you can't really speak well, but then if you sing, you can speak well, or rather words flow out once, all at once. Well, what if you're a bad singer? So now we have to listen to you sing.
I wonder why that popped into your head, because you're such a great singer.
Mother, I want some breakfast. Now we have to stomach that just to hear.
Oh, that's good. Beth says, I know somebody who worked on their stutter in order to become a counselor. They barely stutter now, only when they're very worked up. So maybe helping other people's part of what makes it work. Davo says, I listened to yesterday's show twice because it should have been called the Calvary COVID shit show.
which is apt. Why it's a visit here and there.
But you know, so what else in the stuttering podcast, like in a place like Bolivia or one of those like weird South American countries, the telecoms providers, so the telecoms and Vodacoms and MTNs,
yeah,
have a half rate. So they have a special rate
for stutterers.
People with speech impediments.
This is awesome.
Because
I would pretend I had one.
Take so long. No, you have to. You actually have to prove.
Yeah, so I'll prove it. I can't get a good rate on my service provider. Please give me half price. I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna wax that audition.
Oh, the Stuttering Association of South Africa. Ooh, you, sass.
Pumi, you really love this. Pumi, you really love this stuttering podcast. Hey, you love it. Look at you.
I loved it so much, guys. It was mind-blowing.
The Stuttering Association is coming for us today.
It was mind-blowing. I mean, there were so many things happening in that podcast. And then there would be like long tracts of silence as the guy who's running the podcast says, I'm playing this in real time. And then he interviewed the guy on the phone. And most of the time he gets most of his words right.
Okay.
But here's the other thing. Guess what this guy's job is, besides writing poetry and performing it with his stutter? He is a telephone operator.
Oh, no.
Now
you're taking the piss. Come on. What's wrong with you? Do you have to rub salt in the wound?
True story.
No, Pumi.
True story. He's a telephone exchange operator at I think at like some university library. So he's connecting. So he has to talk. He has to talk to the person that he answers the phone, and then he put them on hold and talk to the next person about the person that's calling. So he is sandwiched between
two
people's expectations of him doing his job
quickly. That's terrible.
You know when they say you can be anything you want in the world? This guy's living
like everything. But so I told you it was about rule breaking, right? So he's breaking every one of these rules. First of all, he's got a stutter and he's a poet and he performs his poetry.
God, you even look at you going on and on about the stuttering.
It's still the stuttering poetry.
Jesus, we've been talking about this for 40 minutes, or is it just me?
You guys.
Just stop it. Guys. What's wrong with you? All right, we got to get to some headlines. Fucking stuttering.
Oh, jeez.
All right, listen. Okay. There have been two shootings on the East Rand. Well, why is that a surprise? Is that even a news story? I thought the East Rand, there were two shootings every day.
Why? Because of the O.R. Tambo statue?
No, we'll get to that, though. We've got to talk about that as well. Apparently, it's emerged a security guard was wounded. That's unfortunate. While disturbing robbers who were trying to steal a vehicle. The incident happened, guess where? In Bedford View. That's why I say it's not surprising, but it happened at the Key West Shopping Center in Bedford View. In the second incident, a number of shots were fired at a vehicle on the Linksfield Bridge. No one was injured and police are investigating. Oof, the East Rand is rough.
Mm-hmm.
Tito Mboweni, he made his speech. We all thought that there'd be some big announcement, but he really kicked the can down the road. Government is redirecting funds from other state programs and departments to fund SAA's business rescue plan. Do we need to talk about that, or can we save it for the burning platform?
We shouldn't. We should just move right along.
I agree.
Right along.
I could not agree with you more. Kasatu are proposing public sector wage freezes and saying, they say proposed public sector wage freezes are not addressing the real crisis. Oh, you're telling me, Kasatu. You know what the real crisis is that a lot of people who have jobs now are not going to have those jobs in the future. Not just because we're in a massive economic decline, a depression, but also because they're going to be replaced by machines.
The way you started that headline, and I know that it was so exciting for a small moment. It's like, what? Because that is actually in the real world. They understand why they have to be salary freezes? No,
sorry, Pums. Okay. No chance. So let me tell you what the real story is. Organized labor have reacted with anger, obviously, to proposed wage freezes in the public service, as announced by the finance minister. The statement noted that since 2008, the public service wage bill had risen. Since 2008, it's gone up by 51%. Adding that a wage-setting process was divorced from the economic reality. You're telling me. Labor and government are already in a legal battle over the state's failure to implement the 2020 wage increases, which it agreed to in 2018. You know, anything you agreed prior to COVID needs to be reevaluated, frankly. So, we'll save this for the burning platform later on, because it's just, these unions are so out of touch, as Pumi's just said. And then the Kempton Park Magistrates Court has granted bail to two high-ranking South African police officials. These two appeared in court for contravening the Firearms Control Act. So far, 28 people have been arrested following an extensive investigation, including 17 police officers. The late Western Cape top cop, Charles Kinnear, was among the officers leading investigations into alleged fraud involving firearms. The officers have been granted bail of 3,000 rand each. 3,000 rand. So they're not taking this terribly seriously by the looks of things. But then judges have their reasons, I suppose. And in France, the coronavirus has led to Emmanuel Macron declaring a second national lockdown. So there's more panic in France. He said that under the new measures, starting Friday, people would only be allowed to leave home for essential work or medical reasons. Non-essential businesses like restaurants and bars will close, but schools and factories will remain open. Again, it's so arbitrary, it may as well not be a rule. So governments have to be seen to be doing something, so they do this, but it doesn't make any goddamn difference. So good luck to you, France. Another stupid government in another stupid country. Those are the headlines. You mentioned this O.R. Tambo statue. Can we talk about this for a second? So you know how much they're spending, all right? Now, we've got a little O.R. Tambo statue inside the O.R. Tambo airport, and the airport's named after him already. So it means that everyone
who comes... Yeah, let's just emphasize that again.
Everyone
an O.R. Tambo statue in the O.R. Tambo airport.
Right. Okay. So every person who comes into Johannesburg from anywhere in the world, and Johannesburg is still the major hub for transport from, you know, international tourists, etc., they have to land at O.R. Tambo Airport. And why that's important is because if you land in Mauritius, you land at the Siwu Sagar Ramgulam Airport. Now, I would never have known who Siwu Sagar Ramgulam was if it wasn't for the fact that the airport in Mauritius is named after him. And the reason it's named after him is because he was their first prime minister after independence. Now, the fact that I can even remember a name like Siwu Sagar Ramgulam is just outrageous, right? But there it is. And now we've got O.R. Tambo, much easier to pronounce. But now we need to build a 13 million rand statue as well. Not good enough to just have the place named after him. Not good enough to have a statue inside. But now we need a big one outside as well. Because clearly the ANC are feeling that they're being left behind. They're feeling that they haven't yet capitalized on quite enough of extorting whatever value they can from their stalwarts.
I don't know why we needed so much money put to a statue.
I'm sure you could find a really good artist to do this for a million. A really good artist. And there are good artists.
But also... even just a million is a lot for a statue. Already there's one, and the airport is named after him as well.
And don't get me wrong, but I don't hate statues. I'm all in favor of putting up statues. You know, I think that there are certain places that they've made really beautiful, like Freedom Park in Pretoria is lovely. I'm glad that it's there. I want us to add to the heritage of South Africa. I want us to have places that we can take children to teach them about things, and you know, Robben Island and the Union Buildings, and these things are all part of our heritage in South Africa, and we should appreciate it. But and building new statues is part of that. But do we need to spend 13 million?
Well, supposedly as well, this is all part of a greater development that's happening in and around OR Tambo International Airport. It is said that a mall is going to be built at the cost of about 4 billion rands.
Is that the OR Tambo Mall by any chance?
By the private sector, which is going to lead you to the terminal. So effectively, the airport is going to change, and it is going to be a place of interest for everyone.
Okay. I see Sean Sanders. I see Sean Sanders is here.
Yeah.
I wanted to hear your point of view, Pums, but if you don't mind, we can wait until the burning platform, because I know you've got some stuff to say. Sean Sanders is here. Hey, Sean, how are you, dude? If I gave you $13 million to invest for me, I'm sure you could make a decent return on that, whereas a statue is not really going to make anyone a return, is it?
Hello, morning, guys. I don't quite understand that strategy, but I'm sure there has to be some logic somewhere deep down in there.
Well, very diplomatic, Sean. Very diplomatic.
So it's the most diplomatic I'm going to be today, so I'll move on to more entertaining stuff after this.
Well, it's that time of the week where we look at what has been happening in the world of crypto, and Sean Sanders from Revix is here to give us the scoop. And it's not just crypto, but also Pax Gold that they offer. So tell us what's happening, man. Give us an update.
Yes, it's been a wild, wild last 2 weeks for crypto. You've seen Bitcoin hit $13,800 yesterday, mm-hmm. which is 230,000 Rand, and that's the highest price in over 20 months.
Wow.
And in the last 24 hours, it's pulled back a bit. So it's sitting at $13,250. And you know that means Bitcoin's up 85% in 2020. The rest of the crypto market's also been performing pretty well.
Uh-huh.
And this has been due to, drum roll, PayPal announcing that they'll be entering the crypto space.
Oh.
So from early next year, PayPal users, like you and me, we can use cryptocurrencies for purchases. And there's 26 million stores around the world that accept PayPal as a means of payment. So to say that this is a big step in the adoption of crypto, both for the user and for the merchant, is just a complete understatement. I mean, this is massive, massive news. And it's why you're seeing the entire crypto market kind of blow upwards now.
All right.
And you know, they still have a very long way to go.
So tell me quickly about the gold situation, because I'm concerned. The US election is next week, and these geopolitical events always have quite a lot to do with what happens, not only to the stock market, but also to gold, and then specifically to crypto. Do you think there's going to be any major movement left, right, up, down?
Yeah, so gold, pulled back from its all-time high of $2,070. Mm-hmm. I mean, for gold to move, remember, this is the safe haven asset. This is not meant to be an asset that's super volatile or anything like that. And gold's up more than 20% this year. I mean, you have to look back a very long way to be able to find another year where gold sort of performed as well as it has this last year. But it's hovering around $1,900 at this point in time, and it's been moving, maybe $20 up, $20 down. But is there an investment case for gold? I've spoken about this in your show loads. There's just so much money that's been printed. I mean, you're talking trillions and trillions of dollars. I actually read a stat the other day that there was more money printed in June this year alone than there was in the first three decades after the U.S. was created. So just thinking about that, I mean, that's remarkable. And with all this money sloshing around, essentially what that means is that it's going to get down into the system. People are going to have more money, but there's only going to be there's going to be the same number of things in existence, same number of physical goods, which generally means that the prices of those increase in value. And that's where a safe haven like gold can be a really good store of wealth.
Well, we had Tito yesterday giving his medium-term budget speech, and he was indicating that there may be all kinds of taxes on the way, and there may be all kinds of stealth taxes that get brought into being. Now, obviously, people are thinking about, well, we've been through a difficult year. I've got X amount of money, or I used to have X amount of money. Where can I put it where it's least likely to be ruined by the vagaries of governments all over the world and by coronaviruses? And I mean, gold, you said, is a safe haven. Would you say the same is true for crypto, or do you think that's much more of a risk?
Oh, crypto is a diverse asset class. I think people get caught up in the idea of cryptocurrency, and that's not necessarily what the entire crypto market is. You have currencies, or digital currencies within the crypto space, so the likes of Bitcoin, the likes of Litecoin, the likes of XRP, so these are within our payment bundle. They are trying to compete to be digital cash. Generally speaking, they have a fixed supply. And by having a fixed supply, they sort of have more intrinsic value. It's difficult to say more intrinsic value, but they have intrinsic value because you can't just print more of them. And this is the big value when it comes to investing in, say, Bitcoin or Litecoin. I mean, you've got a fixed supply of 21 million Bitcoin. You've seen a lot of big institutions come out recently and say, big institutions being the likes of PayPal, MicroStrategy, they came out recently. We just got an article on MoneyWeb talking about this a little bit more. But if you're looking at these big institutions stepping forward and saying, well, you know, we believe that Bitcoin's probably a better instrument than gold to hedge against inflation, that's a huge step forward. And that's, you know, a part of the reason why you've seen this move up in the crypto markets. So what would I do if I had, as you asked at the beginning of the show, you know, 13 odd million rand to invest right now? I mean, I wouldn't go and put it all into Bitcoin. I wouldn't go and put it all into crypto. I would diversify. And I've said this and it's boring. And, you know, every financial advisor would probably say this, but you would diversify across the market. Do not look at holding a whole bunch of rands or physical currency. I mean, there is no better way to guarantee losing your money than holding physical currency, because every single year, this is how people become poor. You have a 5% inflation rate in South Africa. Maybe it's a little bit lower now, but every single year, goods become a little bit more expensive and a little bit more expensive. And it's the reason that you can look back 20 years and you can think, holy crap, I mean, going to a movie cost this much money and now it costs this much money.
Yeah.
And that is inflation. And that's inflation making you poorer. And that's why you need assets that can protect you from inflation. And that's why Bitcoin, gold, et cetera, can actually be really good investment opportunities.
Now, you mentioned your article that was in MoneyWeb, and Justice actually sent us a message about that. He read it and he felt it was really, really good. And he liked the fact that he's already heard you on the show. So he knew what he was dealing with when he read the MoneyWeb article. And he's also concerned about kind of diversifying his portfolio, which I think is what a lot of people are trying to do. What do you think the likelihood is that after the US elections, things settle down a little bit? Because that's really what all investors are hoping for, a little bit of certainty. Uncertainty is the last thing they want, right?
Yeah, uncertainty is, it's the biggest issue with stock pricing. It's the reason that there's volatility in the market. So will things settle down after the US election, even if it goes smoothly? I do not think so. I don't think there's a hope in hell that that's going to happen. You've just seen France come out with a new lockdown.
Yeah.
You've seen the whole of Europe sort of go into a greater lockdown. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be the one to bring bad news, but in my opinion, you've seen 2020, which has been a really tough year. A lot of people have been really shocked. Central banks have stepped in. They've printed money. Governments have injected stimulus into the markets. The problem is that, you know, you're entering 2021 where there's going to be more layoffs. There's going to be businesses that aren't going to be able to be propped up any further. There's probably going to be, you know, real serious economic issues. So looking out to 2022, 2020, 2023, I think there's a very good opportunity then. But I think you're going to go through another 12 months or so of a lot of pain. That's unfortunately the news that I have. Right. So, I mean, that's just my personal opinion. I could be entirely wrong and we could be entering the roaring 20s in 2021, right?
I hope you're wrong. I've never said that before, but I hope you're wrong. Yeah. You miserable, miserable, depressing, negative human being. you are being realistic. So I suppose it's something we have to deal with. All right, Sean, thanks, man. It's good to talk to you in a market that you've never seen before. And boy, oh boy, is that true. Diversify. Don't guess. Revex allows you to effortlessly own a diversified portfolio of the world's top cryptocurrencies, which automatically stays up to date with the ever-changing market. You can find out more by following them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Revex Invest. That's at Revex Invest, R-E-V-I-X Invest. And you can invest now in three easy steps. You just sign up for free, you verify your ID, you add funds, and you select the bundle of your choice. So,
that rhymes. Verify for free.
There we go.
Verify. No, sign up for free.
Yeah.
Verify your ID.
You know, it's amazing how every time Sia sings something, it becomes less lovely. But we'll leave that for a minute. If you want more info, you can head over to Revex.com. It's the smart way to invest in crypto. Thank you, Sean.
Guys, thank you very much. Have a fantastic rest of the week.
Thanks, Sean.
There's Sean Sanders from Revex. Cool.
You know, Gareth, 6 years we've been working together and still... My ego is never surprised when you put it when you put my singing down.
Yeah, thrilled.
Sign up free. You know, verify your ID.
Although, guys, you know, one of the things that Sean spoke about was having 15 million to invest, and that he would diversify. Mm-hmm. Honey, 15 million, and I've been wondering how many other people do this. As my number. Of how much I would have to win in the lotto in order to just like retire from anything.
To languish.
I would have to stop working for money.
Yeah.
15 million is my number. Do you have a number, Sia? Do you know how much money you would have to win in the lotto in order to be able to...
Is this to never, ever, ever work again?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I've never thought about it.
Sia will take anything. But listen, on this topic, this morning at 5 a.m. was the last draw of the special payout on the U.S. Powerball. Payout is 7 billion rand. I hope you placed your bets. And let's see if we have a 7 billion rand winner. Pumi, that's quite a lot more than your 15 million.
Yes.
I don't need that. This is also the thing that I've been thinking a lot about it, because I'm obviously with all the activity with the Hawks.
Yes.
And all of that. And all of the numbers of how much people have been looting from the States. I'm always so absolutely blown away.
Like, why do they need so much?
Why, if you're stealing money, right? You're siphoning money out of, like there was a story last week about some municipal manager in some, like, municipality nobody even knows about in KZN, siphoning something like 45 million rand from the municipal coffers. And I'm just thinking, first of all, you're stealing this money, right? You're like, like 45 million? How are you going to hide that? How are you going to, like, hide the fact that you have now got 45 million, like, chilling? And why? Why do you need 45 million and then keep coming back for more? Like, all of these numbers that get thrown about, I'm just like,
You know, if you put down a bowl full of dog food and you keep filling it up, the dog will keep eating.
Yes, I know that. That's why you...
Yeah.
Take the dog's bone away. But still, Gareth,
I know, I'm with you. Well, listen to this. Tonight, the Super Enalotto, which is the Italian lottery, they're offering an attractive payout of 1.1 billion rand. You can bet now on lottoland.co.za. Lottoland is licensed with the Western Cape Gambling and Racing Board. You have to be 18 years or older to place a bet. Winners know when to stop. National Responsible Gambling toll-free counseling line is on 0800-006-008.
Mm.
1 billion rand on the Super Enalotto.
So just quickly, though, Sipumi, how did you get to 15 million as a figure for you?
I worked it out. I worked out what I would need as a kind of a monthly income.
Okay.
To be able to, like, pay for the internet, which my son thinks is a human right.
What sort of payout monthly would your 15 million give you, roughly?
So the 15 million wouldn't give the monthly payout. What the 15 million would do is it would pay off the rest of the bond. It would pay off my car.
Okay.
And so that would leave me with about 12 million. To invest in a diversified portfolio with Charles Schwab.
Okay.
So not a local diversified portfolio with Charles Schwab. And that would give me a payout in U.S. dollars.
You have thought about this.
Yeah, she's really done the calculations here. Wow.
Now, Sipumi, I have to say, with you, with how much you've thought about this, I really do believe if you won 15 million, we wouldn't be able to pick up. Gareth, as much as you said, I believe next time we're in a video meeting and then you have a spick and span and bright and shiny new lab behind you, I'll be like, something's going on then. Yeah.
I've told you, you would never know if I won.
What's the technical term for, like, a dinosaur skeleton from a museum?
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, a fossil.
Is it a model?
No, it's a fossil.
A fossil there, I'd go, something's going on there.
Yeah. No, you'd never know that I'd won. If I did win a couple of million rand, you would never know. I'd carry on living exactly the way I live.
Also, I would keep coming onto the show.
Mm.
I'd keep coming onto the show, like,
yeah,
every week.
Me too.
I wouldn't be And that doesn't mean that I would stop doing the stuff that I do. So I really love the work that I do. But what it would mean is it would mean that I don't have to deal with certain types of clients.
Yes, you could tell them to get not to. I agree.
Yo, people would get the hint when my Swedish lady in waiting is answering my phone.
Swedish lady in waiting
is not available.
Greg says, Pumi, they need so much because they are greedy, those people who steal. It's that simple.
They are. I mean, there is also a podcast I listen to called Swindled, which is all about all sorts of people who swindle.
Yeah.
And there's an episode about a guy that worked for the lottery governing body in the States. And his job was fixing the algorithm that picks the winning numbers. And for 15 years, this guy would just like set up different numbers and kind of work out the algorithm to the most likely 20 numbers.
Yeah.
And he'd give different people in his family that you should play these numbers on the lotto this weekend.
Well, that sounds, did he win?
But also so all sorts of people, and this is how they found him, right? Is all sorts of people around him just won the lotto, but not the whole lotto. They would win kind of like the four numbers where all you get is like 200,000 US. But 200,000 US is still like in our South African monopoly money, lots of money.
It's about
2.5 million.
Absolutely.
Come on, but that's smart.
Listen, guys, we've got to get on with it. It's already time. It's 7:02 in the morning, and we've got to get cracking. We've got the Burning Platform coming up next. Stick around. Pumi's here. I'm here, and Canton will be joining us. We'll also have a special guest this morning for the Burning Platform, and we want to hear your thoughts. You can get hold of us on 079-748-2090. CliffCentral.com.